Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, the Gospel records the terrible denial of Christ by Judas. I was reading over a number of things that Pope Emeritus Benedict has written, and one of the things he writes about here is Judas, and Judas's betrayal. And Pope Benedict says this, Judas is neither a master of evil nor the figure of a demoniacal power of darkness. He is neither. Nothing so great as a master of evil. And he's not like the figure of the devil. As Pope Benedict says, the figure of a demoniacal power of darkness. But rather, he is a sycophant. In other words, one who sucks on other people, one who drains life from other people, who bows down before the anonymous power of changing moods and current fashion. We want to fit in. We want to be like everybody else. And so we drink from the changing moods and the current fashions until we're almost destroyed. Brothers and sisters, that's very true for us today. So many Catholics, so many Christians are caught up in the world's values. They want to be liked. They want to be accepted. They want to be seen as, well, just at the very cutting edge of everything, whether it be politics or entertainment or the positions of power and money, wherever it is, we want to be on top. We want to be the best, but there's no value or no criteria for what is good and just and right. It's just whatever will get me to the top, whatever will make me popular, whatever will make me feared. I want power so that other people fear me. It's from that kind of well that we're drinking. Because we want to be where all the people who are in the highlights, the people who are on the stage, the people who are on television, and we want to be like them. Brothers and sisters, it can lead us to hell. Because you're not looking at the values of those people. You're just looking at fame and popularity and power and prestige. It can lead you, honestly, to hell. And that's what Pope Emeritus Benedict is saying about Judas. Judas was just one who was looking at the changing moods and the current fashion, however he could fit in, however he could be accepted, however he could be valued. And yet he was in the presence of the Savior of the world. And he was too blind and too deaf to see until he had committed the deed of denial. Please take a lesson from this. Please take a lesson from Judas. Judas wanted to be accepted. Judas wanted to be popular. Judas wanted to have power. And that overrode his loyalty to his Messiah and his loyalty to his fellow brothers. We can do the same. The capability of Judas, the potential, is in each one of us. Each one of us can deny. Each one of us could turn away, no matter what belief we profess. The changing moods and the current fashions, as Pope Benedict puts it. I pause only because it strikes at the heart of my own life. It's so easy, brothers and sisters, to get enticed. It's so easy to be taken off course. Ask God for strength. Recommit yourself to Him. Choose to follow Him wherever He goes, no matter what it brings you through. Even if you're disregarded, even if you're mocked or ridiculed, follow Him. You will never be disappointed. The first reading for the Wednesday of Holy Week. And again, remember, I ask you, take one thing this week. Put it aside this week as a sign that this week is holy. This week is set apart for God. As much as you can, do that this week. Prophet Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 9. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. This was a prophecy that foretold what the Messiah would go through for us. How ready are you to walk with Christ, even to Calvary, in your own life? The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let him confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? You might go against the world's ideas. You might go against the fashions of the world, and people will mock you and ridicule you. But God in his kingdom will not. They will reward you. Whose kingdom are you in? And don't tell me you haven't chosen sides yet. You better. You need to. You'll be destroyed. Psalm 69, Lord, in your great love, answer me. Answer me. This great prayer, in a sense, is the prayer of Christ on the cross, of what he suffered for us. Zeal for your house consumes me, and so the insults of those who blaspheme you fall upon me. Insult has broken my heart, and I am weak. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For consolers, not one could I find. Rather, they put gall in my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Again, fulfilled in Christ. But you and I are called to share in his suffering, that we may know the glory of the resurrection, not just be a bystander, be a disciple. Please be a disciple. Yes, there will be suffering, absolutely. But it's suffering that has an infinite reward. It's not suffering for death, it's suffering for life. Suffer for those who do not believe him and who ridicule you and mock you or put you on the margin. You don't get the jobs, you don't get the positions, you don't get the preferments because you're, quote, Christian. They whisper the word as though it's a hate word, as though it's a word to despise, when it really is a badge of honor. Stand firm in your beliefs. In the Gospel, chapter 26 of Matthew, verses 14 to 25, one of the 12 who was called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" One of the 12. One of the 12. Don't be surprised when you're betrayed. Jesus was betrayed. "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" See, he was consumed by greed, money. Money. It was always that. It was always that. Jesus had given him the money box. He could have gotten free. He could have gotten free of that desire just to have money. He could have really used the money to care for the poor. But that was only a pretext to get money for himself. We can be consumed by money. God can set you free from that. Make your allegiance to him stronger than any other desire of the heart. If you ask for the help of his Holy Spirit, he will give it to you. They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, He looked for an opportunity to hand him over. Don't you think Jesus knew that? I wonder sometimes if Jesus met him eye to eye and just looked at him, and Judas simply bowed his head or turned away, wouldn't allow himself to be captured, so to speak, by the glance of God that could have brought him to repentance. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." I cannot imagine the heart of God, the heart of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the one who came for us. I can't imagine the sorrow of his heart to see one of the 12 whom he had handpicked, chosen, knowing the weakness of each one of them, and yet choosing them because they had free will, and perhaps Judas would choose to follow Christ. But now, here it is. Here it is. The last reckoning, so to speak. Here they all are at the table. Here they are in the midst of the great meal of the Passover. Holy Thursday to us, as it will be tomorrow. And Jesus looks at Judas. He reclines at table. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." And he said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." And then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, look, there's a mockery there. "Surely it is not I, Rabbi," knowing full well it was. It's like he's defiant in front of the Christ. "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." And Jesus answered, "You have said so." Brothers and sisters, supposing you were seated at that table, put yourself at that table. What would you have been thinking at that time? Probably confused, wondering what was going on, sensing a certain tension, not quite being able to decipher it. Would you be able to say, "I will follow you wherever you go, even if it leads to the cross"? That's the question that Jesus asks you in this Holy Week. Will you follow me wherever I go? May God give you strength and honesty to answer that question. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.